About a guy whose name was Glenn. Glenn lived in Southern California, and like the song says, it never rains in Southern California. But this season, it rained. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. It rained so much that it flooded his whole town and his whole community. There was literally a flood rising up on the homes all around the Southern California. The newspaper sent a reporter out to Glenn's neighborhood where they found Joanne, Glenn's wife, standing on the roof. Together, this reporter and this woman stood on the roof and they watched as a Weber barbecue floated on by. And then all of a sudden there was a doghouse floating by with the golden retriever on the roof. It floated on by. When they knew it was serious is when the three SUVs floated right on by down the house. They watched all of these things float by one after the other. And then this weird thing happened. A single hat floated down past the house, went about 20 feet past the house, and then floated upriver back about 20 feet on the other side of the house. And then lo and behold, it floated back down 20 feet beyond the house and then floated upstream again. And the reporter watched this happen several times and scratched his head and asked her, "Don't you think it's strange that this hat keeps floating downstream and then upstream and then downstream again?" To which Joanne said, "Oh, that's just Glenn. He promised he was going to mow the lawn come hell or high water." I mean, the problem is, though, that sometimes we're still focusing on the lawn. I didn't think it was that funny. I'm glad. I'm just glad to know. You never know how these things are going to go, you know. The problem is that many of us focus on the lawn while the home is floating away. Sometimes it's easier to focus on the lawn while the whole home is floating away from us, because we have this crazy notion that sometimes we're the ones who are still in control. And as I said before, that's where we began our Lenten journey together on Ash Wednesday, admitting that, hey, I've tried to be in control and I'm not sure that's always working out so well. We came and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirits, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So we take that second step together today as a community, stepping up onto that next step that says to us, although we do all these things to try and control our lives, that eventually we end up in the same place over and over and over again. We find ourselves in these places of hurt and brokenness and pain. All of our attempts to try to control it simply seem to lead us into places where there is more of it. Amen? Amen. That's why this week's promise is so interesting. For this week, Jesus says to us, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Do you ever notice that Jesus dishes out some pretty strange blessings sometimes? Listen to this one again this week. "Blessed are you when you hurt. Blessed are you when you're in pain. Blessed are you when you have brokenness." Are you like me and saying, "Say what, Jesus? Thanks for that blessing, but if it's okay with you, I'd just as soon not have that one." What do you mean, "Blessed are you when you hurt"? "Blessed are you when you experience loss"? Great, Jesus. Thanks a lot. If it's okay with you, I'd just as soon you keep that blessing. Because let's face it, the culture we live in doesn't tell us that there's much blessing to be found in pain. In fact, we go to crazy extremes in order to avoid pain, to escape pain, to minimize our pain. We don't leave much space in our lives for mourning, for grieving. The world around us doesn't give us much opportunity to do that. Maybe you've had that experience. After you've experienced the loss, maybe the loss of someone really important in your life, and you're still feeling that loss and that grief and that pain, but the world just keeps chucking along at full speed, and it's like the subtle message keeps pumping in your ear, hey, come on, it's time to get over it. Get over the pain. You've got to get on with it. We ain't got time for the pain. And then shows up Jesus, and thank God for Jesus, because Jesus tells us, blessed are those who know loss. Blessed are those who have pain. Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are you when you know brokenness. You know, we live in a culture that tells us there isn't much blessing to be found in our pain. Like we said before, we do some very extreme things sometimes to avoid our pain. But I think pain can be God's wake-up call to us. Christian writer C.S. Lewis, who wrote the whole Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe series, the whole Narnia trilogy, said this about pain. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain is sometimes the only way God can get our attention, telling us that something needs God's attention. Imagine if I'm up here today and my appendix burst right in the middle of the sermon, just like that, right? And I didn't feel any pain. I would continue on going on about I was, not knowing that something inside of me was deeply wrong. In fact, it was so wrong that if I didn't pay any attention to it, it eventually would kill me. If I didn't experience the pain, I would go on and go on and go on until simply what was going on inside me overtook me and eventually would kill me. But the pain tells me that there is something not right. That tells me there is something that needs attention. And thank God I have a wife who would say, Jeff, you're going to get to the doctor. Right, fellas? Sometimes we need that wife who says, I don't care how you feel, you're getting to the doctor. Ain't got time for the pain. We are glad for the pain because it reminds us that God is calling us to take care of something. You know, pain is kind of like a fire alarm. If a fire alarm went off and we all just sat here for the next hour and say, would somebody do something about that stupid fire alarm? Would somebody get a rock or do something to shut it off, to make it stop? The fire alarm would call us, should call us, into action to do things that will protect us and will protect others. But think of all the things that we sometimes do instead of responding to the fire alarm. Instead of dealing with the source of our pain, we try to cover the sound or mute the sound or break the sound alarm. We try to cover it with things like food or work or sex or alcohol or drugs or shopping or gambling or so many other things to try to cover over the sound of the fire alarm going off. But the one thing we know is that if you eventually don't respond to the fire alarm, the house burns down. Eventually, if you don't respond to the fire alarm, eventually the house burns down. Oh, we can put it off eventually, but it catches up with us in the end. Think of the things that happen when we don't respond to the pain going on inside of our lives. Sometimes a crisis comes. After years of substance abuse or an illness can be caused by the substance abuse, or a heart attack can come from the years of workaholism or overstress, loss of job due to inappropriate action. Something eventually is going to cause a crisis in our lives that's going to force us to respond. Confrontation. God uses people in our lives who care for us enough to come up to us and say, hey, you're really blowing it this time. Hey, if you don't start taking care of yourself, hey, if you don't straighten things up, you're about to lose everything that's important to you. Thank God for those people in our lives who care about us enough to tell us what they see. I hope you care about me enough to tell me if you see those things going on in my life. And I promise you, I care enough about you to be able to tell you if I see something happening inside of you that is eventually going to hurt you in ways you might not see yourself. Listen to those who confront you in love. And if eventually, if we don't pay attention to the crisis or the confrontation, it's the catastrophe that gets us. They come in interesting ways. Kelly kind of just told us about hers. A moment when the bottom just falls right out. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Like Kelly said, there comes a moment in your journey when God says to us, "Are you done trying to do my job? Let me do what I'm supposed to do." So hear today's promise again, my friends, for it is good news. God says to us, "Blessed are you when you have pain, because then you will find my comfort. Blessed are you when you realize you no longer need to run from all of the hurt that is happening within you. In fact, God's promise today says that hurt within you is the ultimate doorway to God's comfort in your life. And God's comfort, the promise of this scripture, isn't that what we're all after? At the end of the day, isn't that what we want? To know that God is in us, in this with us, that God will bring us peace that the world will not bring, that despite our circumstances, we can be plugged into something bigger and better going on around us. It sounds easy, doesn't it? But we know it's not. And why is that so hard for us to let God in, to take that next step up the ladder, to really let God into our lives? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons why it might be hard for us to believe. I know all of us here probably believe in God in one way or another. But I think the hard part for a lot of us is believing that God really cares about us, about me. As an individual, sure, I believe in God, but I'm not sure I believe God really cares about me. I mean, God's got this whole world to save, for goodness sake. How can God be worried about me? God has more important things to take care of than to worry about my little hurts and my little hang-ups and my little habits. God cares about the world, but my stuff is got to be so small in God's world that God wouldn't take the time to help me through my hurt. And I'm here today to tell you, if you don't hear anything else I say today, and maybe if you don't hear anything else I ever say from this pulpit again, hear this. You matter to God. You matter to God. You do. You do. You do. There is nothing you can do to ever change that. You matter to God. Why is it that we have such a hard time grasping that and believing that? It's probably because we don't understand the true nature of God. You know, it's like these two boys who were in Sunday school class together. And these two boys, when they got together, well, they just caused all kinds of havoc for the Sunday school teacher each and every week. This is not based on any of your children, I promise. I saw Mr. Roberts going over there. You could have just told me after the service, Pastor. You didn't need to stay up here, you know, between Austin and Brandon. You know, I mean, I think I was talking about them, but I'm not. They're great. This is a story about two boys and their Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teacher was worried about him, worried that that they were always cutting up and they weren't getting the lesson. And so she pulled them aside one at a time. That's the great teacher way of handling that, right? Divide and conquer. So she kept each boy separate after class, and she went in to the first boy and she said, "Where is God?" figuring he didn't have God in his life. And he sat there terrified and didn't say a word. So she asked him again, "Where is God?" And he didn't say anything. So she asked it again, "Where is God?" And the boy just sat there trembling, not knowing what to say. And she says, "Well, I want you to think about it and come back here next week and you tell me where God is." So the boy left the room and he ran into his buddy on the way out. And he said, "What is going on in there?" He says, "I don't know. But evidently God is missing, and they're trying to pin it on us." I mean, we bring so many of our misconceptions into our relationship with God. For many of us, our relationship with God is often shaped by the primary relationships in our life. If we've had an abusive parent, we can believe that God is an abusive God. If we have a parent who is aloof, then we can think that God is aloof. If we have a parent who is hard to please, we can think that God is hard to please. If we have a parent who is angry, then we can believe that God is angry. But I'm here today to tell you, if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the full nature of God on display. God is the one who comes to us and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Look at Jesus. Jesus is the nature of God, and it's different than all of the conceptions of God we carry in our heart. Come to Jesus. It's not just important to look at him, though. We got to take that next step, and that means we've got to get to him, and we've got to invite him into our life and into our pain and into our situation so that we can know that comfort that is a part of the promise of the gospel. Kelly made it pretty plain today. You can go to church your whole life. You can sit in hours of Bible study. You can hear hundreds of sermons. And yet, you can realize that I've never actually come to God. It took me a while to realize in my life that going to church made me no more of a Christian than going to Burger King made me a Whopper. If that was the case, I'd have been a Whopper a long time ago. The first step, admitting we need help. The second step, getting the help we need. Asking God to actually come in to our lives. Saying, "I may not know all the answers. I may not know exactly where this road is going to take me, but I'm going to trust the promise today. Blessed are they who know pain, for they will be comforted." Perhaps the greatest lesson, spiritual lesson I ever learned about that was in my years as a DJ. I was a wedding DJ for about 3 years of my life in college, which means every weekend for 3 years, I did two things. I did the chicken dance, and I did the hokey pokey. You see, in Wisconsin, where I come from, the polka belt there, you're not officially married until you've done the hokey pokey. And there's this moment in the hokey pokey. You know, there's this bumper sticker that says, "What if the hokey pokey is all what it's really all about?" Well, this step today tells us that the hokey pokey is what it's eventually all about. Because when it comes to our Christian faith, we sometimes dance it like we do the hokey pokey. We put our left hand in and then we take it out. We put our right hand in and we take it out. We put our wallet in and then we take our wallet out. We put our time in and then we take our time out. But I'm here to tell you, our spiritual lives are just like the hokey pokey, that eventually there's going to come a time in your life when you simply got to put your whole self in. You simply got to put your whole self in. There's going to come a moment in your life when you simply no longer have the option but to say, "I cannot do this anymore. I simply need to put my whole self in and trust that God can take care of things you can't handle on your own. That comfort is there for all of the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups that hurt us and hurt others. And when you put your whole self in, you're trusting this one thing, that God really does care about you. That God really does care about me. And friends, you only find that in the middle of the great hokey-pokey spiritual circle in the sky, where you step into the center and say, God, today I'm taking that next step. I'm putting my whole self in. I'm going to get the help that I need to get from you and from the community of faith that will help point me in the direction that the world would not otherwise point me in. Friends, blessed are they who know pain. Blessed are they who know loss. Blessed are they who know suffering. Blessed are they who mourn. For they are the ones who will find comfort. It took somebody at one point in my life to say that to me. That, you know, Jeff, you've probably been going to church your whole life, but maybe you've never actually invited God into your life. And just like Kelly, I had a moment in a dorm room where I simply said, God, if you're there, why don't you come on in? And so what I'm going to do now is we're going to pray together, and we're going to pray that prayer together. And today, if that day that you said, you know, I've never done that, in this prayer today, I simply invite you to take that step. As we pray that, you might be realizing, I made that prayer a long time ago, but I'm not feeling it like I used to. Maybe it's time for me once again to say, God, I'm coming back in. Will you take me where I'm at today? Wherever you find yourself on that journey, I simply ask that as we pray out the end of this sermon and prepare for our closing hymn, that you take the next step on this journey that we'll be taking together. Friends, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's find that comfort in prayer this morning. Gracious God, it's humbling to realize that sometimes we have walked our whole spiritual lives trying to do it on our own. And so today we simply open the doors of our heart to say, if we haven't let you in before, would you come in now? Would you meet us in this moment of prayer? Would we begin to feel your comfort abide in our heart and in our life? Can we say, God, I've got more than I can handle right now, and I'm simply going to offer it up to you, trusting that together we can do something I can never do on my own. God, if there's one in here today, it's willing to take that first step, that next step on their life of faith, I simply ask that you be with them now, that you comfort them, that you speak to them, that they may know you care for them and you care about them. And God, if there are those of us who have been on this spiritual journey for a while and maybe have had that moment where we've invited you in and yet we've found ourselves drifting away, may today be the day that we recommit ourselves, that we take that step with you, saying, God, we're coming closer again. We're going to try to put our whole selves in this time. God, be with this community as we continue to journey. If there are any here for whom the fire alarm of hurt and pain is going off in their lives, may they know that they can come to me or to anyone in this church and let us know so that we can help them take the next step, get them to the places they need to be on this road to healing in this place called the healing place. God, we ask this all in the name of the one who said, blessed are they who mourn, for it's his comfort we seek now. Your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let all God's people say, amen.